This is the Gospel City Church podcast. Our hope is that this message is helpful, encouraging, and even life-changing as you grow to know the person and work of Jesus. Enjoy this message today.
1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. When January typically rolls around each year, a good number of people in the Western world suffers from a condition known as something called the post-holiday blues. The post-holiday blues, it's feelings of sadness and loneliness after the hustle and bustle of the holiday season. And I believe we've all experienced this in one degree or another. How could we not? We live in a culture where it is praised, it is normal to be super busy and super active, and it's weird if you're just not. If your schedule is empty, it's unusual, but your schedule needs to be packed this time of year. And so it gets extra busy, right? You have dinner meetings, coffee meetings, movie plans, shopping plans, Christmas parties, nonstop into the new year. Your phone, Kakao messages blowing up from people you haven't been in touch with, family members back at home, phone calls are up more than usual. Your Instagram posts and your stories documenting all the festivities and activities this year. In the midst of all this busyness, you feel happy, you feel warmth, you feel complete. But then January rolls around, and all of a sudden, those feelings all kind of drift away. And you feel a sense of sadness, a loneliness, maybe even an emptiness after everything quiets down. Perhaps there are some of us who are already feeling a little sad and lonely during this Christmas season. Although the season is upon us, we might not feel the joy and the warmth of all the festivities. Perhaps, you know, we don't fit the culture and societal norms and pressures of Christmas, and so we feel like we don't fit the mold. Perhaps being away from home, away from family, has dampened this season, as it can be difficult to live in a foreign country. Maybe there are some of us who have bad experiences with this season during the holidays, and it doesn't just have that same impact as it does on other people. Whatever camp we may be falling into today, when we look at the true meaning of Christmas, what Christmas is all about, loneliness, sadness, emptiness, they're not part of the equation. But rather, Christmas is about a sense of belonging, a joy and belonging that specifically comes from Jesus Christ. Our passage today might not be the typical Christmas passage. Shepherds, wise men, angels, Mary and Joseph, it's not in here. But what we have in this passage, in this first letter of John, is the true meaning of Christmas. And is shown to us in two different words, the incarnation and the restoration. So I want to spend our time here today to look at these two words and what it means for us during this time of the Christmas holiday season. First, let's look at the incarnation. Christmas is not simply a nice story of a baby being born in a manger 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. On the surface, that's what it may look like, but underneath, it carries a much deeper significance summed up in one word, the incarnation. God taking on flesh. God becoming man. This is what Apostle John is describing for us in these first two verses. He describes Jesus as this, that which is from the beginning, the word of life, which was with the Father. We have Jesus, the second son, or the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, who existed for all eternity, and in perfect, uninterrupted fellowship with the Father, coming down, leaving the glory of heaven, and coming down to us to reveal himself to us. As John says, he made himself manifest to us. That is a Christmas story. God comes to us. And for us to truly understand Christmas, to receive the joy and hope and all the blessings that come with this season, we need to understand the depths and beauty of the incarnation. God, who is holy and set apart, the creator and sustainer of all things, the one who is outside of space and time, the eternal Alpha and Omega, all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere. He left the unfathomable glory of the heavens. He limited himself in ways that we could not comprehend to enter into our world and reveal himself to us. On Christmas, God entered our world, and he was able to be seen, and he was able to be touched. John emphasizes this point to the church. In verse 1, he says, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands. And he really drives home the point, repeating it in verse 2, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it. We have seen God in the flesh. And we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life. It was not just John and the apostles, but multitudes of men and women who saw and experienced Jesus as he walked this earth. Countless men and women were able to see, to touch, to hear, and to experience God in the flesh. The incarnation shows that we have a God who went out of his way to come to us so that we can know him deeper. I used to live on the East Coast of the United States. And one of the annoying things all my West Coast friends would do when they came around was tell me about how great In-N-Out Burger was. Yeah, the ingredients are so fresh. The patty is top quality. It's made with love. You can just taste it. The animal-style sauce, the buns are just right. And I hear this over and over again, and it's like, that's great, but I've never tried it. I don't fully understand it. I haven't tasted it. I haven't touched it. I've only heard about it. So I don't know what you're going on about. I don't comprehend it. But eventually, after some time, I was able to graduate, and I took my first trip out to the West Coast. And one of the first things I did when I got off the plane with my friends is take me to In-N-Out Burger. Take me to In-N-Out. And I sat there and I ate it. That the high quality ingredients, the amazing meat, the bun, the animal sauce, the whole nine yards. And it was meh. No. No, it was a good burger. It really was a good burger. I had finally tasted it. I had finally experienced it for myself. And I knew I could know at a deeper level what my friends were all talking about. And you know this from any majestic experience that we have in this life. If you visited the Grand Canyon, Mount Everest, the icebergs in Antarctica, the Northern Lights, you know the difference between just seeing it and hearing about it in the pictures and actually being there to be able to see it, to touch it, to smell it, to hear it, to experience it. You're able to know it on a greater level. John Calvin, a great theologian from the Reformation, once said this: the revelation of God prior to Christ was like a pencil sketch. The revelation of God, who he is, before Christ was like a pencil sketch to us. We could see the outline, we could see what the drawing was all about, but it was when God became flesh, when Christ came down, we could see the vivid colors. We could see the texture. We could see the glorious masterpiece that is our God. The apostles, they got to see it. They got to touch it. They got to hear it. And they testified and proclaimed about his life and his work. And although the receivers of this letter. They didn't see Christ himself. They received this testimony, this eyewitness accounts, this autobiography of Christ, if you will. And they received it, and it transformed their lives. They were never the same. They were able to know God through this testimony. And after generation and generation, since for 2,000 years, this same testimony has been proclaimed and preached, and multitudes, countless men and women, countless lives have been transformed because God came to us. And he revealed himself to us. That's what Christmas is all about. The incarnation. God going out of his way to come to us so that we can know him. The invisible God made visible. One outside of space, time, and matter entered into our world and took on flesh so that we could know him. To make that pencil sketch into a Monet. To take us from the postcard to the top of Mount Everest. God became knowable and accessible through the incarnation. That's the Christmas story. And the next thing we'll see that John is trying to portray to the church is the story of restoration. In Christmas, we have the story of the incarnation and the story of the restoration. Christmas is not simply, again, a nice story of a baby being born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. But it's much more than that. It's the start to the ultimate love story, the story of restoration. It's the story of how we, although we were completely undeserving in our rebellion, in our sin against God, in his great love and mercy for us, he sent his son to be born on that Christmas day. And as he was born, he came with a mission, with the sole purpose to live the life that we fail to live over and over again, day after day, and to die, to pay the price of our sin, to pay the price that we should have paid for all of eternity. That was the purpose of his coming. He came so that he could restore us to God. Verses 3 and 4 shows us that this was his purpose, to restore our relationship with God and to restore our joy. Let me read for us verses 3 and 4. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. We proclaim the word of life so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Christmas is a story of restoration. It restores three things. It restores sinners to God. It restores us, our one another, and it restores our joy. From the beginning chapters of the Bible, we see how Adam and Eve ate from the tree, and they fell because they fell, and the man was cursed, and this earth was cursed because of that sin, that relationship with God. Being in his presence, walking in that garden, was broken. Death and decay entered the scene, and this world has been cursed ever since. And every page after, starting from Genesis, in the Old Testament, there are prophecies, there are messages that were pointing to and foreshadowing the Savior that was to come to reverse that curse and restore us back to God. One of my favorite verses in Joy to the World, as we just sung a moment ago, perhaps is one of the more obscure verses, but for me, this is the verse that really touches my heart. It goes, "No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow as far as the cursed is found, far as the curse is found." Christmas is a story of God sending himself, sending his son to reverse the curse of sin and restore us back to him, back into fellowship with him, to be able to know him intimately, personally, deeply, and to restore us to one another. Because of the effects of the fall of the curse of sin, was enmity and strife between men, hatred, jealousy, envy, greed. But it was through his son, his work, that we are able to be restored. The Apostle John is saying here, I am proclaiming Christ. I'm proclaiming Christ to you, church, once again, who he is, what he's done, what he's come to do for you. I was a witness for it. And I'm encouraging you to continue in your fellowship with us. Encourage your fellowship with me as you continue your fellowship with God. And as you do this, your joy will be made complete. Your joy and my joy. John is encouraging the church to stay in fellowship with the body. He starts off this letter like this because false teaching had been coming in, teachings that denied Christ to be the Son of God, teachings that denied the power of his atonement to save us from our sins. And as a result of these teachings, their assurance and their joy was fading away. Assurance of their forgiveness and their acceptance and their love from God was fading. The joy that they received from this assurance was fading. So John tells the church, continue in your fellowship with us. Continue in your fellowship with God, and your joy will be made complete. Don't let those teachers take away the assurance and joy that Christ has died to give you. Church, this holiday season, don't let the post-holiday blues get you down. Enjoy the holiday parties. Exchange the gifts, call your loved ones, meet your friends and coworkers, sing the carols, enjoy all the blessings that God has given you. But don't forget to enjoy the giver of all those gifts. Fellowship with him. Commune with God. Commune and fellowship with his people. And as you do, that miracle, that gift of Christmas, come alive in your heart and complete your joy. Sing together as we end today's service, thanking him, reflecting upon what he has done for you 2,000 years ago when he sent his son to this world. Christ, he made that cosmic leap to reveal himself to us, to restore us. In Christ, there is a true belonging that casts away all loneliness. Christmas is about the incarnation, God with us. And in Christ, there is a true joy greater than anything this world can offer. Christmas is about restoration. You are forgiven and loved and made right with God. And now you can know him and have fellowship with him and love him and live for him. Because Christ came. He lived and died for you. God drew near to us, so let's draw near to him this season. Let's pray.
If you've been blessed through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. Gospel City is a gospel-centered church in Seoul, South Korea, on a mission to plant Korean-speaking, healthy, gospel-centered churches. You can give by going to the website give.thegospelcity.org. Thank you for listening, and subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Remember, Jesus changes everything.